When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to Jesus all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When I hear this gospel passage about Jesus our Lord driving out the demons, it reminds me of that car that Dodge just produced called the Dodge Demon. That's not what the Bible's talking about. But the Dodge Demon has a lot of power. It's got like 840 horsepower. And what happened is Chevrolet released a response to the Dodge Demon, and it's called the Chevy Camaro Exorcist. And it totally crushes the Dodge Demon, as one could expect. 1,000 horsepower and 966 pounds of torque. That's a fast car. But anyway, not to get sidetracked, what the Lord Jesus does is he conquers the spirit of evil. And this is part of the beginning of his mission of redemption. The gospel passage I read to you, we have the story of Jesus in his public ministry. And what has happened thus far is he's called people to repent of their sins. He's started to build the church by bringing the apostles together. And then he goes on the attack against the spirit of evil. And he liberates many people who were oppressed or even possessed by the evil one. Now, Christ conquers the spirit of evil rather easily, and this victory heals people, makes them new, makes them enjoy life to the full. And that is what his mission is. It's what he does, and he can conquer the spirit of evil so easily because of his power and his majesty. He has within his sacred heart the power of the Most Holy Trinity, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because he's one with God. Sometimes people think that in the spiritual war, which is real, that there's an equal power between goodness and evil, that there are two equal powers competing for victory, and we're not sure which one's going to win. But that is not accurate. The power of goodness, the power of God, is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, all-present. The spirit of evil is none of that. And in this battle, we have the fallen angels. And they were created good by God, but in a mysterious way, they rejected God's plan for them and thus disfigured themselves forever to be evil. And they try to separate people from God and from one another, and they try to separate people from sharing in the goodness of life itself. You know, if you look at history, at all of the evil movements that we could clearly say are evil, there's a common thread that unites them all. We could look at Nazism or communism or Islamic terrorism or abortion and the abuse of children and women and, you know, violence and drug abuse and slavery and all kinds of evils. The common thread is the trampling of human dignity and human rights, the rejection of the value of human life. And you could have among these movements all kinds of different people who would never know each other, who might even hate each other, but they united in this similar cause of trampling human dignity, which is a trampling of the image of God. And what unites them is the spirit of evil, which has somehow inspired people to choose this path of darkness. And how these movements become so almost popular and powerful in history and in our own time is because individual people have chosen that. Individual people have again and again made choices that put them on the path to evil. The spiritual battle between good and evil passes through each individual human heart. And therefore, we each must choose We each must choose the right path, the path of goodness. Our daily choices, even the ones that nobody sees, shape our lives, either shape us more and more into a character of goodness or a character of evil. We have to choose in our own individual lives goodness. You know, in our baptism, attached to the celebration of baptism is a set of vows. Vows that call us to reject the spirit of evil and to live for the most holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we have to live these vows day by day. At the Easter Vigil each year, we renew in the church our baptismal vows. It's a way to try to make these vows more our own and to try to reorient ourselves to make sure we're living on by choices that put us on the path of Christ. In the Gospel, we hear that the Lord Jesus frees people from the grip of the evil one, and this he does today. People tend to think today that the most powerful spiritual weapon against evil is exorcism, but that's not true. In fact, exorcists will tell you that the most powerful spiritual weapon against evil is a virtuous life, a life of holiness, a life of living in Christ. Now, because the spiritual battle is real, we have to be smart. And the thing is that possession by evil is actually extremely rare. In fact, many of the cases referred to exorcist priests are really not possession. They're more like psychological disturbances or, you know, problems that people are dealing with, and they just need some counseling or psychiatric help. But what is not so rare is the influence of the evil spirit on people's lives. This is actually quite common. And what happens is there are entry points into our lives that allow the spirit of evil to harass us or oppress us or to consume ourselves with a negative power that just weighs us down and makes us feel no joy or peace in our hearts. And we need to be intelligent. Here are some of the entry points that we have to watch out for in our own lives. Entry points that the spirit of evil will try to take advantage of in order to influence our life in a negative way. One of them is arrogance. It's when we put ourselves above God. That's when we don't even try to repent of our sins against life or purity of heart, against truth, against justice, sins against love. It's when we're like, we don't care about God's will in our lives, and we don't even try to repent, and we don't even make an effort to repent. And that's putting ourselves above God. That's an entry point for influence by the spirit of evil. Got to watch out for it. The antidote, humility. The antidote is to see that we need God in our lives, and we have to find that in his will is our peace. Another entry point that we have to watch out for is a very serious one and a very common one. Unforgiveness, a lack of forgiveness. You know, in our life's journey, it's very possible that people can hurt us in some way through their negligence or worse, through their malice. And what we have to do is respond to that. I think what happens is someone will wound us, and then we may have nothing to do with that person ever again, but inside our hearts, we're hating them. We won't forgive them, and we rehearse over and over again what they've done to us. How could they do this? They did this, they said that, they failed to do this. It's so unfair and so terrible. And we hate them, and that consumes us. That's an entry point for the spirit of evil. It's a big entry point. It's like a wide open door for the spirit of evil to harass us. And Jesus tells us the antidote is forgiveness. He says we have to forgive others from our heart, that is, interiorly. People may not even need to know that we have forgiven them for what they've done to us, but we have to know we've forgiven them, and so does God. So we have to pray to God to give us the grace to forgive others and practice forgiveness all the time in our lives in order to seal up this entry point of unforgiveness. And then another entry point is jealousy or envy. It's when we're angry or sad that other people are doing well, and we speak against them and we feel we don't like them at all, and even though they're doing good things and they're successful or something like that, what it is we're starting to question God and His providence. We're saying, how could you arrange things in this way? That jealousy and envy is really bad. In fact, it led people to crucify Jesus. Pontius Pilate said that it was out of envy that Jesus was crucified. The Bible says Pontius Pilate recognized that. So our response to jealousy and envy, the antidote, gratitude, is to thank God each day for the gifts and blessings that you have. I think there's only two kinds of people in this world: people who are thankful and people who are not. Those who are thankful recognize the gifts that are right before them from the hand of our loving Father, from God, and they're happy in those gifts. They're able to rejoice even in the littlest gifts they have. Those who are ungrateful, they only see that they don't have what other people have. They're miserable. We don't want that. We want to be happy and peaceful, so gratitude is a way to seal up that entry point of jealousy and envy. And another entry point is a lack of trust in God. And this is made manifest in various ways. You know, something that people get involved in that they don't think is a sin is things such as horoscopes and Ouija boards and psychics and palm reading and mediums. On the surface, they don't look like they're that bad. People see them as kind of entertainment or satisfying curiosity, but they're actually a sin against the first commandment of God, because they go against the trust that God deserves from us. We have to stay away from that stuff and trust that God is taking care of our lives, our past, our present, and our future. We entrust to the Lord, who's all-powerful and who loves us. But in this regard, a very, very serious manifestation of this lack of trust in God is opposition to Him, which is shown in direct involvement with evil things such as seances and black masses and voodoo, ridiculous things that people get involved in and they devote themselves to it. It's a direct involvement in evil. People do this even today. Some years ago, in Harvard University, there was a group of people who were going to do a black mass. They were going to have a satanic priest come in and pronounce blasphemies against Jesus Christ, truly present in the Eucharist, to curse God. And I think the reason they were doing this was because they just wanted to show some new thing and manifest their diversity. But it was a really stupid thing to do. And anyway, what happened is a number of faithful Catholic college students said, "We don't like this, and we're going to do something against it. We're not just going to protest it, but we're going to make a holy hour of Eucharistic adoration in reparation for what has happened or what's going to happen." So a number of students decided to have a holy hour in a small university chapel, and word began to spread about this. At the last minute, I decided to go, and I said to myself, there'd probably be about 50 people there. And I went there, over 2,000 people were there, and it was awesome. We had this Eucharistic adoration, then we processed through the streets near Boston all the way to this big church in Harvard Square called St. Paul's. Over 2,000 people there, praising and worshiping the majesty of the Most Holy Trinity, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, honoring the Eucharist. Many thousands of people witnessed us processing through the streets, singing our praises to the Lord Jesus, carrying the Eucharist in adoration and supplication. And I thought to myself, something that is present throughout the Bible, that what some people mean for evil, God will mean for good. And you had a handful of people who were going to get involved in the Black Mass, and it led to thousands of people getting involved in worshiping the Lord Jesus, who wouldn't have done so at that time if it weren't for that Black Mass. I'm not saying the Black Mass was a good thing. It was a ridiculous thing, evil thing. They should not do it. But it shows the power and the victory of Christ. And many thousands of other people were blessed by Christ when they saw him. People who were going about their day, who were in restaurants or traveling through the city and coming off the subway, they would see the Eucharist and all the people praising God, and somehow that touched their lives and inspired them in the way of Christ. I remember as we walked through this procession, off in the distance, there was a man up on a hill. I saw him, and he was screaming uncontrollably against us, insulting us bitterly with the most cruel things you could ever hear. And I thought to myself, that is to be expected, because the evil spirit tried to manifest a hatred for God, and it led to a manifestation of the love of God, of people's love and faith and hope in the Most Holy Trinity. How good God is, that even when someone does something for evil, he brings about a greater good. Anyway, if you have ever had involvement with those occult things, direct involvement in evil things such as black masses and voodoo and all that nonsense, you have to renounce it in the name of Christ, and you have to turn away from it, go to confession, and stay away from it. It's only going to make you a tool that is going to lead to your own misery, and it's going to bring all kinds of trouble and, you know, just things you don't want in your own life. You want God's blessing. Go down the path of the light of Jesus Christ, who is real and who loves us. Anyway, there is a real spiritual war going on around us. It's terrible. But you know, we don't really have to worry about it or be anxious or frightened. Instead, we just have to follow Jesus. We have to keep our hearts fixed on the light of Christ as upon a lamp shining in a dark place. These entry points, arrogance, unforgiveness, jealousy, envy, and a lack of trust in God, we have to seal up in our lives. We can do it so easily just by our way of life, our daily choices. We need to choose. We must choose every day what's true, good, and beautiful in the sight of God. So, brothers and sisters, may we renew our effort to live in the Lord Jesus Christ, to live by his word. In this way, we come to experience the freedom, the happiness, and the healing that his victory gives to us. And who knows, there may be many other people in your life right now who will come to experience this new life in Christ simply because of you. God bless you.